Morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? You know, we stalled a little bit to get a little intrigue and mystery as to why maybe we would be a little delayed, but happy Wednesday. You'd think that I'd have a better command of the calendar, but no. Welcome to today's HEC board meeting. I want to thank all the members of the public who are here, all the people who are eagerly watching at home, and of course, the board members and the board and the staff. So I'd like at this moment to call the meeting to order. I think we have a quorum, and I think people agree. I would like the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on June 3rd, 2025? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. At this moment, I'd like to ask President Enderling to present the President's report.
Thank you, Commissioner, and welcome to everyone who's joined us for this last meeting of the year, especially our HDC Board of Director members. And thank you for the leadership and the expertise that you continue to lend to HDC's mission. The HDC team has worked hard to prepare the agenda items before you today. The breadth of this agenda reflects one of the busiest periods in memory, capping a year marked by both challenges and by progress. Since we last met, we've seen significant changes at the federal level with the reduction of the 50% test to 25% for the low-income housing tax credit program. We're proud to be among the first HFAs to put this legislative change into practice. And as you see in front of you, we've done it at scale with multiple transactions that will be presented today. Combined with additional capital resources, we anticipate the new test will provide roughly $500 million per year in additional equity to accelerate the city's housing production efforts. This morning, board member Denise Scott will begin our agenda with reports on last month's governance and audit committee meetings. Thank you, Denise. Senior Vice President Lauren Connors will then present for your approval an authorizing resolution to issue approximately $2.1 billion in financing for affordable and public housing developments, including the construction of 2,621 new homes across Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, comprehensive repairs for 1,610 public housing apartments at the PAC Bayview portfolio, and the preservation of 104 apartments at Henry Phipps Plaza East in Manhattan. Next, Senior Vice President Brian Che will present for your approval the issuance of roughly $546 million in bonds to support the financing of NYCHA's Fulton Elliott Chelsea development, the initial phase of an historic PAC partnership that for the first time will incorporate the new construction of two buildings comprising over 670 new homes for NYCHA residents as part of the broader preservation of NYCHA apartments on the Fulton Elliott and Chelsea campuses. Brian will also present for your approval a related smart loan mechanism, which stands for Subordinate Market Rate Revolving Term Loan. You'll hear more about that in a few minutes, that leverages additional capital resources to improve and retain value for the public, for NYCHA, and for NYCHA residents. And last, the issuance of housing impact bonds to support improvements for 1,610 apartments at NYCHA's PAC Bayview development in Brooklyn. Vice President for Preservation Development Michael Rose will then request the use of approximately $49 million in unrestricted reserves to support two HPD swap initiatives that will stabilize key preservation portfolios and replenish reserves for future cluster site rehabilitation needs. Executive Vice President for Capital Markets and Investments Ellen Duffy will then seek approval to extend temporary funding through the New York City Housing Assistance Corporation for another year to ensure the continued support for over 50 longstanding households at Rupert Yorkville Towers. After that, Bobby Toth, Director of Budget and Financial Planning, will present HDC's fiscal year 2026 operating budget, followed by Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Kathy Bauman with the property disposition report. Finally, again, Lauren Connors will return to present two declarations of intent, one for a proposed 290-unit new development in the Bronx, and another for the conversion of a hotel into 579 affordable homes in Manhattan. Today's agenda underscores HDC's unwavering commitment to developing and preserving affordable housing through innovation and strong partnerships. I'm deeply proud of the team's tenacity. Welcome, Chuck. Give you a second. I am deeply proud of the team's tenacity in meeting the city's housing goals creatively and responsibly. As we approach the end of 2025, I look forward to advancing new affordable housing and strengthening our preservation portfolio with our partners at HPD, as well as deepening our partnership with NYCHA in accelerating essential public housing investments. Thank you to the entire HDC team, to Chair Tagani, and all the board members who are here today. One last note about the room today. We normally have a voice lift system that is not operating today, so you might have to enunciate a little more loudly or clearly. And with that, I turn it back to the chair. Amit.
Thank you so much. I want to second your thanks to the entire team. You know, it is represented in the, you may be following or not following, but HPD and HDC, our communications teams, work very hard to not only talk about the big numbers, but we profile the people who are getting keys every day and moving into homes and getting stability that they would never have imagined for themselves without the work of the people at this table, in these buildings, and of course, all of you here who are sitting with us. So just want to second that gratitude. At this time, I want to move to the part of the agenda where we get the report from the governance committee and board member Denise Scott, if you can report out.
Good morning, everyone. The governance committee met on October 20th, at which time senior staff raises of 3.25% were discussed and approved. The actions of the governance committee with respect to senior staff raises must be ratified by the HDC board. Do I have a motion to ratify senior staff raises that were approved by the governance committee? First, am I supposed to ask the questions?
Do I have a motion to ratify the senior staff raises that were approved by the governance committee? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Trying to do your job, Mr. Chairman.
No, I'm all about sharing the wealth. Next, we'll have a report of the audit committee meeting.
The audit committee met on October 20th, at which time the members reviewed the fiscal year 2025 third quarter financials and other investment debt and credit reports. The members also approved the FY 2025 fourth quarter internal audit plan. In addition, Ernst & Young presented their audit plan for the upcoming audit of the corporation's annual financial statements. Finally, an executive session was held to discuss the corporation's cybersecurity measures. No action or votes were taken during the executive session.
Thank you very much. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act, and for the purposes of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee. Next, the chair calls on Lauren Connors to make a presentation.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2025 Series H, I, and J, and 2026 Series A, B, C, D, E, and F, in an amount not expected to exceed $2,136,325,000. The bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities described in your memorandum. Interest on the 2025 Series J and 2026 Series A, B, C, D, and E bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local income tax, and such bond series will qualify as tax-exempt.
That does not count as an official vote either.
That ended Furman this morning too. It's very odd.
No, that has Robert.
Were you at Furman this morning?
All right, sorry. Okay. And such bond series will qualify as tax exempt private activity bonds with an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap, an allocation of recycled volume cap, and or the refunding of certain outstanding bonds or obligations of the corporation. Interest on the 2025 Series H and I and 2026 Series F bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. The anticipated interest rates, maturity dates, and other relevant terms of the bonds are described in your memorandum. An authorizing resolution will authorize the 375th through 384th supplemental resolutions. Anticipated that all or a portion of the proceeds of the 2025 Series H and I and the 2026 Series A bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the senior and or subordinate mortgage loans for 11 developments. The proceeds will create or preserve approximately 2,725 rental homes across 10 developments in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan, and preserve 1,610 rental homes in one NYCHA PAC development. For more details on the developments, please see attachments 1-11 in your memorandum. On July 4th, 2025, a federal bill was enacted that provided that as of January 1st, 2026, the threshold of private activity bond proceeds needed to qualify a project for LIHTC tax credits was lowered from 50% to 25% of the aggregate depreciable basis of the building and the land on which the project is located. The new construction projects being financed with the 2026 Series A bonds are expected to close in December 2025 with proceeds from taxable 2025 Series H and 2025 Series I bonds funding closing costs. The private activity volume cap 2026 Series A bonds are expected to fund the balance of the mortgage loans and have a delayed delivery and issuance in January of 2026 to qualify the projects for the 25% test. Members are asked to approve the use of available funds in the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves to bridge closing costs that would have otherwise been paid for with taxes and bonds had they been issued in 2025. It's also anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2025 Series H bonds will be used for future lending. The issuance of such 2025 Series H bonds, together with an anticipated interest rate hedge, will enable the corporation to lock in funding at current rates. Any future lending for a development that has not been previously approved by the members will be presented for approval to the members prior to the making of such loan. It is also anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2026 Series A bonds will be used to finance and or reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced from its unrestricted reserves to finance all or portion of certain subordinate loans from certain of the developments described in Attachment 12. The members have previously approved the subordinate loans for these developments and are now being asked to approve the use of the 2026 Series A bond proceeds for the financing of or reimbursement for all or a portion of the loans described therein. The issuance of the 2026 Series A bonds for this purpose will allow for the replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the mayor's housing plan. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2025 Series H bonds and or the 2026 Series A bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance a Sun loan for the PACT Bayview development. In addition to the open resolution financing requested to be approved by the members here, the PACT Bayview development is expected to receive financing from the proceeds of tax exempt and or taxable bonds to be issued under the Housing Impact Bond Resolution, which Brian will describe later in this meeting. It's anticipated that the 2025 Series J bonds will be issued as a convertible option bond or COB to preserve the private activity volume cap in the event the corporation receives tax exempt new private activity volume cap in excess of the amounts needed to finance mortgage loans this December. If issued, the proceeds of the 2025 Series J bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed in Attachment 13. The mortgage loans for these developments are expected to close in 2026, at which point the 2025 Series J bonds are expected to be remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. It's also anticipated that the 2026 Series B bonds will also be issued as a COB to preserve tax-exempt recycled volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation and the New York State Housing Finance Agency. If issued, the proceeds of the 2026 Series B bonds are expected to provide construction and or permanent financing for the new construction and acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments also listed in Attachment 13. The mortgage loans for these developments have either previously closed with corporate funded loans that will be refinanced with recycled bonds or expected to close in 2026, at which point The 2026 Series B bonds are expected to be refunded or remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. It's also anticipated that the proceeds of the 2026 Series C and D bonds will be used to refund the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds for the refinancing of the permanent mortgage loans for two developments as described in attachments 14 and 15. The 50th Avenue Apartments Development and the Borden Avenue Apartments Development are two of the seven parcels that comprise the Hunters Point South neighborhood. The members originally approved financing for these two parcels in 2013 and then approved refinancing in 2015. Both developments are approaching the end of their initial 10-year term rate term. The current refinancing via the issuance of the 2026 Series C and D bonds structured as 5-year to 10-year term rate terms will provide the development with a new interest-only permanent financing with an additional 5-year to 10-year term. In the event each borrower and the corporation are unable to structure a new financing prior to the mandatory tender date of the 2026 Series C bonds and the 2026 Series D bonds, a Federal National Mortgage Association or Fannie Mae credit enhancement facility will be available to pay the purchase price of such bonds. It's also anticipated that a portion of the 2026 Series E and F bonds will be used to refund certain tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds as described in Attachment 16. Refunding is expected to generate interest rate savings in the open resolution. It's also anticipated that the remaining portion of the proceeds of the 2026 Series F bonds will be used for future lending. The issuance of such 2026 Series F bonds, together with an anticipated interest rate hedge, will enable the corporation to lock in funding at current rates. Any future lending for a development that has not been previously approved by the members will be presented for approval to the members prior to the making of such loan. The members are being asked to authorize the issuance of the bonds pursuant to multimodal supplemental resolutions. Accordingly, all or a portion of the bonds may be converted to other interest rate modes provided for in the supplemental resolutions. It's anticipated that all or a portion of the 2025 Series H bonds will initially be issued as variable rate secured overnight financing rate or SOFR index bonds expected to be purchased by the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. It's expected that the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York will have the right to give notice on a quarterly basis to put the 2025 Series H bonds back to the corporation effective 12 months after such notice. If the corporation cannot repay the principal remaining on the 2025 Series H bonds put, then the corporation will repay the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York the principal over an amount over a period anticipated to be 3 to 5 years from excess available funds in the open resolution. It's anticipated that the 2025 Series I bonds will be issued as taxable fixed rate bonds to finance a portion of the 2025 Series I senior mortgage loans. It's anticipated that the 2025 Series J bonds will be issued as variable rate obligations initially in the term rate mode, and interest will be reset at specific intervals. It's anticipated that a portion of the 2026 Series A bonds will initially be issued as tax-exempt fixed rate bonds to finance a portion of the long-term 2026 Series A mortgage loans. It's anticipated that the remaining portion of the 2026 Series A bonds will initially be issued as tax-exempt fixed-rate bonds to finance a portion of the short-term 2026 Series A mortgage loans. It's anticipated that the 2026 Series B bonds will be issued as tax-exempt recycled private activity volume cap COB. It's anticipated that the 2026 Series C and D bonds will be issued as variable rate obligations initially in the term rate mode. It's anticipated that the 2026 Series E and F bonds will be used to refund certain bonds of the corporation to generate interest rate savings in the open resolution. The Series E bonds will initially be issued as tax-exempt fixed-rate bonds, and the Series F bonds will initially be issued as taxable fixed-rate bonds. It's also anticipated that a portion of the 2026 Series F bonds, the 2026 Series F2 bonds, will be issued as variable rate SOFR index bonds expected to be purchased by the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. In order to manage the interest rate risk relating to the remarketing of certain bonds into variable rate bonds and or other bonds issued under the open resolution, the corporation is working with Mahanti Garjulo LLC, its hedge advisor, and expects to enter into one or more interest rate hedging instruments. More details on the developments and the bond underwriters' risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
You can do that again.
So hearing no questions except that then, asking Suzanne to speak to the member authorization.
Sure. Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the pledge to the open resolution of any mortgage loans or assets of the corporation, the terms of any liquidity facility and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are requested to approve the making of 10 senior loans and 5 subordinate loans for 9 Ella developments and 1 preservation development from proceeds of the 2025 Series H bonds, 2025 Series I bonds, 2026 Series A bonds, and or available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $1,050,880,000. The members are requested to approve the financing of the Sun loan for the Pact Bayview development in an amount not to exceed $83,895,000 from the proceeds of the 2025 Series H bonds, 2026 A bonds, and or available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves. Members are requested to approve the use of available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $100 million to bridge closing costs in 2025 that would have otherwise been paid for with the tax-exempt bonds had they been issued in 2025. Finally, the members are requested to approve the execution of one or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not to exceed $285 million. And for each of the authorizations requested above, the members are requested to approve the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to accomplish said financings or hedging instruments.
So keeping all of that in mind, do I have a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2025 Series H, I, and J, and 2026 Series A, B, C, D, E, and F, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you? Move. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All, any opposed? Motion carries. Next, we'll move on to the item approval of an authorizing resolution related to the multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, PAC Fulton Building 1 development, 2025 Series A and B multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 development, and 2026 Series A and B, and approval of corporate reserves. Brian Shea, if you would mind making a presentation.
Good day, board members. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 2025 Series A and B, in a combined amount not to exceed $189,025,000 for the PAC Fulton Building 1 development, and 2026 Series A and B, in a combined amount not to exceed $357,740,000 for the PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 development. I am also pleased to recommend that the members approve the sale of participation in the corporation's senior mortgage loan for PAC Fulton Building 1 in an amount not expected to exceed $94,512,500. The sale of a participation in the corporation's senior mortgage loan for PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 in an amount not expected to exceed $178,870,000, approximately 50% of each project senior loan amount. In addition, I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the making of a subordinate market rate revolving term loan, or SMART loan, in an amount not to exceed $185 million in aggregate between the two projects from non-HDC sources and the corporation's unrestricted reserves, approximately $45 million for PAC Fulton Building 1 and approximately $140 million for PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1. The 2025 Series A and B and 2026 Series A and B bonds and the SMART loans will be used respectively to finance the acquisition, demolition, new construction, and permanent financing of 2 New York City Housing Authority redevelopment projects known as PAC Fulton Building 1 Development and PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 Development. These developments are part of the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, or PAC strategy, outlined in the 2018 NYCHA 2.0 Strategic Plan. In 2021, a resident review committee comprised of residents of Fulton Houses and Elliott Chelsea Houses selected Essence Development and related companies, the PAC partners, as the winners of a request for proposals, which at the time were anticipated to be standard PAC rehabilitations. In 2022, condition assessments revealed significantly more challenging and costly conditions than originally anticipated. In 2023, NYCHA resident leaders and the PAC partners announced new plans to demolish and entirely rebuild both campuses over several phases. The PAC Fulton Building 1 and PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 projects are the first phase described in the Master Development Agreement entered into between NYCHA and the PAC partner in fall 2024, which includes relocation of tenants from and demolition of one existing building on each campus, and the new construction of one replacement building on each campus. Subject to final approval from HUD, Fannie Mae, and Wells Fargo Bank NA, the multifamily mortgage revenue bonds will be issued in separate bond resolutions for PAC Fulton Building 1 and PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1, and expected to be purchased directly by Wells Fargo Municipal Capital Strategies LLC and Wells Fargo Bank NA, pursuant to separate bond purchase agreements for each project. During the construction phase, the bonds are expected to be secured by mortgage purchase agreements with Wells Fargo Bank NA. During the permanent financing period, the bonds are expected to be enhanced by a standby credit enhancement issued by Fannie Mae. Each mortgage is expected to have 10-year terms with interest-only payments with a balloon due at the end of the 10-year term. Interest on the multifamily mortgage revenue bond series 2025 Series A for PAC Fulton Building 1 and 2026 Series A for PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 is anticipated to be exempt from federal, New York State, and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as recycled tax-exempt bonds. Interest on the multifamily revenue bond Series B for PAC Building 1 and 2026 Series B for PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 is anticipated to be federally taxable and exempt from New York State and local income tax. Each project smart loan will be made by the corporation, a portion of which will be funded from approximately $93,400,000 from HDC's allocation of Battery Park City Authority funds, approximately $50 million from New York State Homes and Community Renewal, approximately $20,600,000 from the corporation's unrestricted reserves, and approximately $5 million from NYCHA. During the construction period, the corporation's unrestricted reserves may temporarily bridge a portion of the smart loan funds until funds from these other sources are made available for an aggregate total amount not to exceed $106 million. During the permanent financing period, the smart loans will have a term of 40 years and an 8% interest rate and will be repaid from 50% of each project's net cash flow and certain other capital events. It is anticipated that upon realization of excess development rights proceeds at each campus, as further described below, NYCHA will purchase the state and corporation's interest in the smart loans, allowing the BPCA and state funds to be revolved into future PAC or non-PAC affordable housing projects. The value NYCHA may be able to realize is contingent on ULURP approvals for future phases and the attendant affordability requirements. However, at current indicative valuation, there is a substantial margin between the projected value and the outstanding balance of the loans NYCHA will be expected to purchase. More details on the projects, as well as bond underwriters, risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Did the tenants agree to relocate those that have to?
There have been a substantial amount of outreach to the tenants to educate them on the relocation process, their legal rights. And there are a number of tenants who have agreed to relocate. There's a small number of tenants, mostly more on the Elliott Chelsea campus, that have so far refused to relocate. NYCHA and the PAC partners are working with those residents to understand what their concerns are, what their preference for relocation might be, if there is still a relocation option, and are continuing to work with the residents. NYCHA has also taken simultaneously legal steps to try to take steps to further encourage the residents to move, but there have been legal filings, proceedings initiated by NYCHA against the residents, The board memo also does describe that there's a tenant rights group that have also initiated legal proceedings. So it's not without contention. But at Fulton Houses, 88% of the households that were in the buildings have agreed to relocate. And at the Elliott Chelsea house, that's being that's part of the first phase, approximately 70% have agreed to relocate.
What efforts has HDC undertaken to determine the veracity of HDC of the Housing Authority's position?
We have not specifically done so, but clearly through the legal proceedings, there is a hearing scheduled for December 4th regarding exactly that question, the veracity.
Hearing where?
At New York State Supreme Court.
I'm sorry?
New York State Supreme Court.
And is counsel for HDC monitoring those proceedings?
The working group together is receiving the reports from NYCHA and NYCHA counsel.
As you know, I have no confidence in NYCHA. I wouldn't believe them if they told me today was Wednesday. They have never been straight up with tenants. They have never been straight up with the city of New York. They have never been fair and appropriate. I will therefore vote against this resolution. I will abstain from this resolution.
The only thing I'll say here is that HPD is not always it's not a direct party in this in every facet, but as a city, we have been working and trying to tackle the issue of a NYCHA portfolio that has diminished in its ability to meet its capital repairs, and a federal government that's abandoned our ability to meet those needs where they are. So I will say that, you know, in my own dealings with NYCHA's leadership and coordination and collaboration with HDC, we have seen and we've partnered with them on infill projects that's created hundreds of units of housing, both for NYCHA residents and New York City residents. We have worked on PAC repairs. We are nationally recognized for the volume of units and the particular way that we have set up a collaborative set of guidelines and tenant protections that surpasses RAD projects nationally, but is here and cemented as our approach and philosophy in New York. So absolutely, you know, defer and respect to your experience, and you know so much about the history of NYCHA and residents, but I'll say where we are going now with PACT, what we are trying to do as a city to support the 178,000 units of NYCHA, where we are sort of left as a state, because the state is supporting and is a partner in helping NYCHA residents have fair, safe, and habitable housing. We are doing a lot that goes beyond just what the tools require to make sure that people are protected.
Commissioner, let me be clear. I do not in any way quarrel with, criticize, or do anything other than applaud the efforts of HPD in this effort, or the efforts of HDC. As the president of HDC will tell you, this is not a new position for me.
Yes, sir.
It is a position I took while in government and citing them for the violations that they did. Number two, you should know I am not a great fan of infill, and that is not something I believe in, because I do not believe people are required to live as though they were living in a sardine box. They are not sardines, they are human beings. And the Housing Authority has never treated them as such. It just seems to me appropriate and necessary that people keep an eye out on what they're doing, because they cannot, in my view, be trusted.
I just would like to say a couple of things to make sure that we don't understate the level of engagement that HDC has had on a regular basis for years now related to this project and others. And I just want to remind the board that we've had a set of sessions to discuss this over the summer. And then I think Mr. Mertler, you and I had lunch a couple of weeks ago where we talked about this. And I just want to remind a couple of things about that. We've had sometimes round the clock coordination on some of these issues with NYCHA and with City Hall. We've never had anything but full transparency on a lot of these discussions, and we've been in the details significantly. We also do at this point, and for months have been doing like a daily check-in to make sure. So the question of veracity generally Without regard to some specific idea that you might be thinking, we have a very clear, professional, serious relationship with them and their leadership all the way up. So I want to be clear about that. The other thing is that I want to be clear, this is not infill. This is a full.
Use the word.
Okay. No, I was sorry to be very clear about my point. The longer history of us working with.
I know it isn't that choice.
Yeah. Working with the Housing Authority as other examples, but this specific project has its own uniqueness and strategy, which I think the president will speak to.
This is a phased redevelopment of high quality, identical buildings that will be. So literally the replacement of the public housing. And if there is ultimately anything else on the site, will be identical type buildings and structures. There will be no, it's not a jammed infill. It's not a separate
argument. Checkerboard.
It's a phasing and a checkerboarding. And I know we've discussed this, but I just want to remind that. So it will be this redevelopment in which the NYCHA residents, and it's a build first model. So these buildings will go up. They will be 100% replacement of public housing. So those residents who have moved to other places on the campus will move into these brand new buildings before any other development happens. So I just want to be clear, this is not, you know, infill on a parking lot or anything else. And this is approved by the tenants as well. And we have full confidence in the relationship around this development with regard to everything we've discussed with NYCHA and the monitoring of all the different situations, whether it's the tenant relocation and or the challenge that you just heard about on December 4th.
As I said to you this summer, if I may, please, I have no quarrel, no question, no concern as to what HDC has done or is doing, or what HPT has done or is doing. I do have an ongoing concern about the management of New York City Housing Authority projects. The tenants are protected, that the buildings are soundly maintained, and not in violation of the building code of the city of New York or the housing maintenance code of the city of New York.
Yes.
I'm unconvinced that NYCHA makes an effort in that regard, as is required of every property owner come heck or high water. That's my concern. It is not your job or what you have done splendidly, nor is it as to HPD. It is the Housing Authority, and I honestly believe that it is time, hopefully the new administration will do that, to take a good hard look at how NYCHA can be reformed, revised, and be truly responsive to its tenants. And I thank you.
I think on that note, I'll just say that all of us agree that protecting the tenants of NYCHA is everyone's paramount and key goal and is a responsibility we all share. So I just want to echo, I believe that that is definitely a sentiment of support. Any other questions at this time or comment? Okay. If there's none, do I have a motion to approve? Sorry, Susanna, to talk about the member authorization.
The members are requested to approve 2 authorizing resolutions, each of which provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions, the multifamily mortgage revenue bonds resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the execution of the bond purchase agreements regarding the direct purchase of the related bonds, the execution of mortgage related documents, including the mortgage purchase agreement and documents related to the initial credit facility, and any other documents necessary to accomplish the issuance of the related bonds and the financing of the related bond loans. The members are requested to approve for each project the execution of a participation agreement with Wells Fargo, pursuant to which the bank will acquire a participation interest in the corporation's senior loan for such project, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation, mortgage related documents, and any other documents necessary to accomplish the participation. The members are requested to approve the making of 2 subordinate loans, smart loans, in a total amount not to exceed $185 million. To be funded in part by the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $106 million, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the subordinate financing.
Thank you so much. So at this time, do I have a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, PAC Fulton Belting 1 development, 2025 Series A and B, multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, PAC Elliott Chelsea Building 1 development, 2026 Series A and B, and approval of corporate reserves and other actions by the members described in the memo before you?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain noted. Okay, motion carries. Next, we'll move on to item 8, approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the housing impact bonds 2025 series E and F for the NYCHA Pact Bayview development and 2025 series G and approval of mortgage loans. I'll ask Brian to make a presentation.
Good day, board members. Please note that there's a black line of the memo before you. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's housing impact bonds 2025 series E, F, and G in a combined amount not to exceed $304,360,000, and that members approve the use of the corporation's general obligation pledge in an amount not to exceed $24,440,000, that the members approve the origination of a senior unenhanced non-accelerating or sum loan an amount not to exceed $83,895,000. Proceeds of the 2025 series ENF bonds in expected not to exceed amount of $244,360,000 and the sum loan will be used to finance the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent financing of the NYCHA development known as the PAC Bayview development. The project is part of the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together or PAC strategy outlined in the 2018 NYCHA 2.0 plan, which describes how the city will reinvest and reposition public housing through Section 8 conversions. The PAC Bayview development consists of 1,610 units within 23 tenant-occupied NYCHA public housing buildings located in the Canarsie neighborhood of Brooklyn. The proposed rehabilitation work is extensive and is expected to bring significant quality of life improvements to residents and improve energy efficiency. Subject to final approval from HUD, Fannie Mae, and the Historic Tax Credit Investor for the project, the housing impact bond proceeds are expected to fund 2 mortgage loans. One loan representing 90% of the loan proceeds is expected to be secured by supplemental security in the form of a standby credit enhancement agreement issued by Fannie Mae. And the remaining 10% of the loan proceeds is expected to be secured with a subordinate mortgage loan enhanced by the corporation's general obligation pledge. Each mortgage loan is expected to have 30-year terms with interest-only payments for 5 years, after which each loan will amortize over a 40-year amortization schedule with a balloon due at the end of the 30-year term. The sum loan for the project will be senior, unenhanced, and non-accelerable, with fixed principal and interest payments that are designed to mimic real estate taxes. The sum loan will have a 40-year term and will fully amortize after a 5-year interest-only period. The sum loan will not require external credit enhancement because of its high debt service coverage and particularly low repayment risk. The project is also expected to receive a subordinate loan made by the corporation using city capital granted by the City of New York, acting by and through HPD. Final closing and sizing of the subsidy for the project is subject to review and approval by the Office of Management and Budget. Proceeds of the 2 mortgage loans, the sum loan and the subordinate loan, will be used for the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent mortgage for the project. It is anticipated that the 2025 Series G bonds, in an amount not to exceed $60 million, will be issued as a convertible option bond, or COB, to preserve taxes and recycle volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation and the New York State Housing Finance Agency. If issued, the proceeds of the 2025 Series G bonds are expected to provide construction and or permanent financing, the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments which are listed in Attachment 2 of the Housing Impact Bonds board memo in front of you. Interest on the 2025 Series E bonds, the 2025 Series G bonds are expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as recycled taxes and private activity bonds. Interest on the 2025 Series F bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. More detail on the project, as well as bond underwriters, risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memory. Are there any questions? If there are no questions, Susanna will provide the authorizing resolution.
Yeah, I've been stealing that line from people, but supposedly other people are supposed to say that. I'm sorry, I'm greedy.
As long as someone says it.
Yeah.
Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the housing impact bond resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the pledge to the housing impact bond resolution of any mortgage loans or other assets of the corporation, and other activities listed therein, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to issue the bonds and to make the mortgage loans relating to the bonds, including the HDC funding agreement. Members are requested to approve the use of the corporation's general obligation pledge in an amount not to exceed $24,440,000, plus any interest due on the HDC enhanced mortgage loans. The members are requested to approve the origination of the Sun loan in an amount not to exceed $83,895,000, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage related documents and other documents necessary to accomplish the Sun loan financing.
Thank you. At this time, do I have a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the housing impact bonds 2025 series E and F for the NYCHA Pac Bayview development and 2025 series G and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Okay.
Any opposed? Thank you. The motion carries. Next, we move on to item 9, approval of December 2025 HPD funding swap initiatives, city project, and cluster loan. At this point, Michael Rose will make presentation.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval the corporation's use of its unrestricted corporate reserves in an amount not to exceed $49,797,000 for the purpose of participating in two funding swap initiatives with the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development. These initiatives will enable the stabilization and mitigate the risk of foreclosure of two housing preservation projects within HPD's pipeline that are anticipated to be funded in December 2025. Such loans are referred to in the memo as the city project loans. The initiatives will also enable the replenishment of reserves to facilitate the future rehabilitation of property for supportive housing by the city at phase 2 and phase 3 of the cluster sites. Such loans are referred to in the memo as the clusters loans. From time to time, the corporation has entered into similar funding swap agreements with HPD to enable programmatic objectives and priorities within HPD's pipeline. Because loan paydown cannot be funded by HPD City Capital due to capital eligibility restraints, the city project loans will be used to fund the paydown of unsupportable senior debt on these two projects. The corporation has previously entered into similar funding swap agreements with HPD for the cluster sites as well. Phase 1, 2, and 3 in the combined amount of $28,648,832. By participating in this funding swap with HPD, the corporation will assist in the stabilization, rehabilitation, and/or refinancing of such projects by allocating corporate reserves as a funding source for the capitally ineligible costs of loan paydown and reserve replenishment. In exchange for this allocation of corporate reserves toward the city project loans and the clustered loans, HPD will grant city capital funds to the corporation in a commensurate amount and pursuant to section 661 of the private housing finance law to partially fund the corporation's subsidy loans on one or more new construction projects to be financed during December 2025. The HPD projects to be funded under this initiative will fall into two categories. One, projects that have experienced operating cost inflation and/or income shortfalls that have caused their existing or committed permanent financing to be no longer supportable. And two, supportive housing sites for formerly homeless tenants known as the cluster sites. As with other such funding swap initiatives, the terms will be memorialized in a memoranda of understanding between HPD and the corporation. While the funding swap will not increase HDC's risk, the initiatives will limit the ability to pledge HDC subsidy loans to a bond indenture. Due to this restriction, the swap will result in a decrease of HDC's ability to issue $49,797,000 of bonds that could otherwise generate proceeds to be used for future lending capacity. This is a limitation of the program that is currently under discussion. To date, and inclusive of the previous cluster sites financings, the corporation has made such swap loans in a combined total of approximately $250 million. Further details on the terms and risks of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you. And before I open the floor to questions, this time I will read the authorizing motions. The members are requested to approve 1, the use of up to $49,797,000 of the corporation's reserves to fund the December 2025 HPD funding swap initiatives dedicated account for the making of the city project loans and the clusters loans. And 2, the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the making of the city project loans and the cluster loans. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Nice end run around me stealing that line. I like it.
Any questions?
Yeah. I just want to get my head clear about this. If memory serves correctly and the memorandum given us refreshes that memory, cluster sites were condemned by the de Blasio administration, though it had initiated portions of them. So far, am I right? Two. Problem with the cluster sites going forward was the needs of the tenants, whether they be homeless or otherwise, that they be provided adequate and appropriate shelter. Correct? And HPD has been functioning in that area for that reason. And three, the purpose of this resolution is to maintain the buildings in an appropriate condition to provide adequate shelter for the inhabitants of the building, and that's it, even though they're privately maintained. Is that correct?
It's a response. Yes. Any other comments or questions?
So moved.
So do I have a motion to approve the December 2025 HPD funding swap initiative city project and cluster loans?
You have it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And carries. Moving on to item 10, approval to continue to temporarily fund New York City Housing Assistance Corporation, Rupert Yorkville Something Program. And I call on Ellen Duffy.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend the members of the New York City Housing Development Corporation approve the transfer of a not to exceed amount of $2,200,000 of its corporate reserves to the New York City Housing Assistance Corporation, or HAC, to continue to provide subsidy to the residents of Rupert Yorkville Towers in accordance with a 2003 agreement with the owner. In June 2024, the members approved a similar transfer that was intended to be a temporary bridge until the city could identify a long-term source to fund its obligation. The city is expected to assume responsibility for its obligation in 2026, as described below. Rupert Yorkville Towers is a former Mitchell Lama rental complex located on the Upper East Side of Manhattan that bought out of the Mitchell Lama program and converted into a condominium in 2002. At that time, litigation between the residents and the owner over the buyout resulted in a court-supervised settlement, resulting in the city agreeing to subsidize residents of Rupert Yorkville Towers earning less than 80% of area median income who could not afford to purchase their units. The city requested HAC to be the vehicle to provide the rental subsidy program. The city subsidy program for Rupert Yorkville Towers was thereby approved by HAC board members in July 2003, with the understanding that future payments would come from an appropriation by the city or other funding source. Between 2004 and 2017, the members of HTC authorized periodic transfers to HAC to cover payments under the city subsidy program in amounts not to exceed $10 million outstanding at any point to cover shortfalls in available resources at HAC. In 2017, the members of HAC approved the sale of HAC's remaining mortgage loans to HTC for securitization to generate proceeds to repay HTC and permit HAC to continue funding the city subsidy program. In June 2024, because there are no longer assets or monies projected to be available in HAC to fund the city subsidy program for the rest of the year, members of HTC approved the transfer of $3,400,000 from HTC corporate reserves to temporarily fund on a monthly basis the city subsidy program through December 2025, while a long-term solution was sought as described in the attached 2024 memorandum. Currently, there are 52 households at Rupert Yorkville Towers eligible for the city subsidy program at a current cost of approximately $2.2 million per year. As the payments are projected to continue for several decades, HTC staff has been working with the city to determine other potential resources to support the city subsidy program going forward and reimburse HTC for the funds deposited with HAC and not already reimbursed. The two main sources of city funding under consideration are a dedicated annual allocation of city tax levy dollars, which has the flexibility to fund rental assistance, or city capital, which cannot be used to directly fund the rental subsidy costs, and would therefore require a swap of funds with HTC on one or more future projects. Under the swap funding proposal, HEC would use its corporate reserves to pay the rental subsidy, and APD would grant city capital funds to HEC pursuant to Section 661 of the Private Housing Finance Law to make an equal amount of subsidy loans. The corporation regularly securitizes the cash flows from its subsidy loans made on new construction projects to augment HEC's future lending capacity. Currently, HEC subsidy loans funded by city capital through a funding swap cannot be pledged for bond indenture and securitized to raise proceeds. This is a limitation of the swap mechanism that is currently under discussion, including whether it is an appropriate long-term source of funding for the city subsidy program. As mentioned in the previous presentation, to date, and inclusive of the various swap initiatives, the corporation has made such swap loans in a combined total of approximately $250 million. As discussions around a long-term solution are ongoing, the corporation proposes to again transfer the necessary amounts from its corporate reserves, an amount not to exceed $2,200,000, to temporary fund on a monthly basis the city subsidy program through December 2026. This will bring the total amount for reimbursement by the city to HEC to $5,600,000. In the interim, corporation staff will continue to work with the city of New York to determine an appropriate funding source to support the city subsidy program going forward and to reimburse the corporation for funds deposited with HAC and used to pay the subsidy. Before opening up to questions, I'll read the action by members. The members are requested to approve, one, the authorization to fund a not to exceed amount of $2,200,000 of corporate reserves to be transferred to HAC on a monthly basis to cover monthly payments under the city subsidy program expected through at least December 2026. And two, the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation to execute any documents necessary to effect such transfers. Are there any questions?
Chuck.
Let me first ask a question. How much HDC money has gone out and not been recouped on this project for this purpose?
It's those two amounts that were described. So yeah. We've done two new cycles of funding, the three you announced and the two now. So roughly 5 to 6 million.
Yeah, it will be 5,600,000 if the 2,200,000 is approved.
You will recall last year, and I believe previously, I looked at the record in that case in the court proceedings and attended it. I fully sympathize with the people who are tenants and who can't afford to pay this. The city needs, the state needs, and if we ever have a sound administration in Washington, the nation needs appropriate funding sources to deal with housing rights because they are, in my view, a constitutionally protected right. This has gone too far. HDC is not in the business of being a subsidizing entity to this degree in this fashion. I really honestly recommend, and you know there is no greater fan of HDC than me over a period of 20 years. I honestly recommend that the city be told this is it. This is it. They have to straighten this problem out one way or the other. It's just not fair. It's a stain on our escutcheon, in my view, and I think it has to be straightened out. At the same time, we cannot put people in a position where they are deprived of longstanding shelter when they need it and they can't afford it. There's got to be a solution. I would think that HPD, with the enormous talent you have, can come up with something in that regard. This is just wrong.
I will say that, again, emphasizing and agree with you, the tenants here at this building deserve and should be ensured of our ability to protect them. We are working closely with HDC to figure out long-term how to solve for this, and obviously respect your opinion, which is of a very experienced level. Preston.
Can you remind me, I think we had this discussion last year, but I don't remember, how was the subsidy amount originally determined? Because it works out to like $3,500 a month on average.
Yeah. So I can answer that. So the rent that this
program is going to cover is for all the residents that are up to a 80% of AMI limit. Exactly. So the rental subsidy is basically that we cover. It's basically the difference between what the resident pays and that 80% of AMI rent.
Okay, so the resident share is 30% of their,
yeah, there we go.
And so, okay, and how is then the rent determined?
So the rent is, we are, our asset management team works with the management company, so we know the AMI limits, and we know how the, you know, how the AMI limits grow over time. So as the units are coming up for releasing, the new rents are set.
And are we obligated to make up the difference?
HDC, through, because of the settlement agreement and the agreement between HDC and the city, yes, we are.
I just kind of want to second the comments of Charles, and I think this is not consistent with HDC's primary mission here. We should be very careful about going down the slippery slope. And we do need to sort of figure out some way in which we are not on the hook indefinitely for this particular burden.
You know, I will say that because it's connected to a particular building, a particular class and group of tenants, it's not an indefinite commitment. But I hear you. And just to go back, you know, you mentioned the role of just overall rental assistance and being able to do this. As everyone here knows, we have a number of different tools that either are available or less available these days. But that's part of the conversation. I was trying to figure out how to mitigate the obligation of HDC to step in, but given the moment that we're in, we have figured out a way to try to work together and keep resources for the income support happening, and also move resources in place that still will help contribute to housing production. But again, I agree with both. Denise?
Well, essentially, I agree with Charles, which I have never said, I don't think, in this meeting. And Preston, and I'm wondering whether this hasn't already triggered some precedent setting, you know, situation where other buildings and other tenants, again, for reasons that make sense, because we want to protect affordability and we want to keep residents, you know, in place living in the city. Haven't others wanted this deal too?
I would say many cases, especially in the Finchalama portfolio, we have benefited from being able to use federal housing vouchers as one option. We have used other strategies, but there's some, again, because of the court history here and the uniqueness of this situation, that has sort of taken us down this path in the place we are today. We, generally speaking, are always in the business of trying to preserve affordability when transactions happen and a building's organization changes. And we have used other tools that are more appropriate, including HEC on the capital side. So I don't know if anyone had
that. Yeah, no, I would just respond to that too. First, let me say I appreciate the comment from the board, and we actually agree with you 100%. And there is a, you know, this is a city obligation. We have worked, as you see, a long history of figuring it out. There was a whole middle section in which we securitized some loans and paid for a while. We're now just at this moment where it's a bridge. And we've had very strong, sincere conversations with the city and with OMB. Our OMB colleagues have engaged us on this conversation as well. And so this is a temporary bridge in all those conversations. To your point, HDC is not supposed to be providing ongoing rental assistance in that way. And we do have an obligation at some point to raise our hands and object if it felt like it were going to a point that were irrational or were removing resources from HDC or affordable housing resources that are not our obligation. In the spirit of collaboration and understanding the situation and having done most of the analysis on it, we have agreed last year, and we thought we'd have it resolved, so we have another year of bridge. But I appreciate the comments that we would like this to be the last year of that bridge, and we sincerely hope that is the case. And I think we have a general understanding that that should be the case, so we hope not to be having this conversation again next year, and we'll have it figured out.
Ruth, you commented that tenancy was largely in the area of 80% of the AMI. As your distinguished president, you know, I believe that the AMI, as it is applied mostly, is wrong. The area of media income includes New Rochelle, it includes Scarsdale and its affluent people, it includes Roslyn, it includes large tracts of Long Island. It's an artificial number that inflates, not deflates. And what it does, it is not a credible number. One day, perhaps, and your distinguished predecessor ultimately agreed with me, one day, perhaps, the city of New York will form its own AMI as a co-partner with the federal HUD AMI version, one that is honest and not distorting. AMI is not a reliable factor. It is a hoax.
And for those who just need to know, just know the city of New York does put out information about family income through our housing and vacancy survey, which we do every 3 years. And you can find that information on our data and research page on our website. So, well, thank you for visiting. More people, please, everyone visit our data and research. Any more questions or comments? Okay.
How does this go back? The 48 years I've had this boy, Rupert York, who was a memory from years ago.
Yeah. So start
2003.
Yeah.
But they had, the HAC had funds from the city originally. So we have, HDC hasn't been.
It goes back to the 60s.
Well, the development.
Yeah.
This
obligation.
2003.
But as Susanna just said, we have not been funding that entire period. There were loans in it that then were used and securitized to extend for a bridge. We've only been funding in this way for the last 2 years as this temporary bridge.
The Rupert mess goes back.
Yeah, it does.
50 years more.
To your point, too, it does be clear, too, this is a roll-off. This isn't like an affordable resource that new folks are coming into. This is literally an amortization of existing population as they roll off. So it's declining over time, but that trail can be extremely long. It could be 30 years at some point.
I think the sense of the board here is that we don't necessarily want to be that. We don't want that to be the turn of the bridge.
Right. Yeah, so. Thank you. Fair enough. We appreciate that.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask if I have a motion to continue temporarily fund the New York City Housing Assistance Corporation, HAC, Rupert Yorkville subsidy program as described in the memo before you. Second?
The second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. And thank you for the conversation. Next, I'll move on to item 11, presentation and approval of the fiscal year 2026 operating budget. And I'll ask Bobby to make the presentation.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm pleased to present the corporation's proposed fiscal year 2026 operating budget for the members' approval. The corporation ended fiscal year 2025 with an excess of revenues over expenses on a cash basis of just under $198 million, which was about $58 million above budget. This was primarily due to higher than expected investment earnings and servicing fees, along with continued strong performance in the open resolution. Fiscal year 2026 revenues are projected to reach just over $215 million, an increase of about $24 million or 12% compared to the prior year. Despite the year-over-year revenue increase, investment income is projected to grow at a slower rate as short-term interest rates are expected to decrease. Servicing fees on HDC finance loans are projected to continue growing, driven by additional projects converting to permanent financing and prior year changes to the corporation's servicing fee structure. Fiscal year 2026 expenses are budgeted at just over $58 million, an increase of $6.8 million, or about 13% compared to the prior year. While some budget lines have decreased due to reduced need, the overall expense increase is largely attributable to the expiration of the fixed free rent period under the corporation's office lease. Excluding the additional rent payments taking effect in 2026, operating expenses are expected to increase by about $2.6 million, or 5%. The corporation had another successful year in the market, issuing $2.6 billion in bonds and committing $166 million in corporate reserves for new construction subsidy loans, with $4.2 billion provided in total since 2003. HGC's financial position also remains strong, with total assets in the enterprise fund increasing by over 14% to $33 billion and net assets reaching $5.6 billion. The corporation continues to collaborate closely with the New York City Housing Authority and New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development. As a key financing partner under the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, PACT program, HGC has contributed over $3.8 billion in financing to support repairs and upgrades for 28,575 homes. In addition to assembling financing, HGC joins NYCHA in providing asset management for PAC transactions to ensure ongoing physical and financial health. This initiative has been the largest driver of the corporation's workload in recent years. HGC also continues its longstanding partnership with HPD, supporting efforts to increase production, bring new projects into the portfolio, expand loan servicing, and simplify procedures to help applicants and shelter residents move into affordable homes more quickly. The city recently committed additional near-term funding to accelerate production, $1.5 billion to HPD and $300 million for NYCHA Section 8 conversions, which will expedite the creation and rehabilitation of nearly 6,500 homes. At the federal level, newly enacted legislation will help expand affordable housing production in New York City by permanently lowering the private activity bond financing threshold, known as the 50% test, from 50% to 25%, and raising the annual allocation of 9% housing credits by 12%. HDC looks forward to working with its agency partners and the incoming mayoral administration to leverage these new resources and further combat the city's unprecedented housing shortage. Over the years, the corporation has implemented small increases in headcount through targeted hiring to strengthen core functions while leveraging new technology to improve efficiency. The fiscal year 2026 budget continues this trend by proposing a modest increase of 6 positions, smaller than last year, to meet the current demands and prepare for near-term growth. The budget also includes additional investments in AI tools designed to support staff capacity and streamline internal operations. With a new mayoral administration, it is especially important that HGC remain a trusted financing partner, sustain the talent, capacity, and financial strength needed to support the city's affordable housing goals, and safeguard its hard-earned AA credit rating. The proposed budget reflects a balanced and measured approach to what lies ahead, and the corporation remains optimistic about its 2026 financial outlook. A detailed explanation of each revenue and expense line is in Appendix A, beginning on page 8 of the budget memo in your board package. The members are asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2026 operating budget. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Yes.
What is the corporation's current full-time headcount authorized?
263, and if this budget is approved, it would be 269.
And okay, and the increase in other expenses from your 25 actual to 26, is that mostly due to the change in the lease term?
Yeah.
How much is that?
So lease is about, the additional incremental amount is about $4.5 million.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So moved.
Do I have a motion to approve the fiscal year 2026 operating budget? Motion. Second. Thank you. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Bobby. Next, we move on to item 12, presentation and approval of the fiscal year 2025 property disposition report, and Kathy will make a presentation.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the property disposition guidelines attached to the property disposal guidelines report. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005, each public authority is required to adopt comprehensive guidelines in connection with the disposition of property owned by each authority and reapprove such guidelines on an annual basis. The guidelines have not changed since originally approved by the members in fiscal year 2008. As a reminder, and as noted on page 3 in the report, last year the corporation acquired real property in the form of a leasehold condominium unit for the office space here at 120 Broadway. The corporation did not dispose of any property during the fiscal year. After approval, the report will be submitted to the Office of the State Comptroller, the Director of Budget, the Commissioner of General Services, and the Office of the New York City Comptroller. The report will also be published on the corporation's website. The members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2025 annual report on property disposal guidelines. Are there any questions?
Okay. If there's no questions or comments, do I have a motion to approve the fiscal year 2025 property disposition report? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 13, approvals of declaration of intent resolution 1941-1959 Jerome Avenue, Bronx, New York, 10453. And the chair calls on Lauren.
Thank you. As you know, declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax exempt bond financing. Today, I will be presenting two declaration of intent resolutions. Before HDC were to actually finance either of these projects, the specifics of each transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. First, please refer to your memorandum entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, 1941-1959 Jerome Avenue. The proposed development at 1941-1959 Jerome Avenue will consist of the new construction of one building containing a total of 290 residential low-income rental units located in the Morris Heights neighborhood of the Bronx. It's expected that the development will use approximately $82 million in taxes and bonds. The project is to be developed by a single purpose entity to be formed and controlled by Mad Jerome LLC and VG Jerome Realty LLC. Are there any questions? If not, the chair will present the motion to approve.
Do I have a motion to approve the declaration of intent resolution located at 1941-1959 Jerome Avenue, Bronx, New York? Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And second, please refer to your memorandum entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent 371-377 7th Avenue and 148 West 31st Street. The proposed development at 371-377 7th Avenue and 148 West 31st Street will consist of the acquisition of a hotel to permanent housing conversion containing a total of 579 residential low-income rental units located in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan. It's expected that the development will use approximately $250 million in taxes and bonds. The project is expected to be developed by a single purpose entity to be formed and controlled by Slate Property Group and Breaking Ground. Are there any questions? If not, the chair will present the motion to approve.
Do I have a motion to approve the declaration of intent resolution for Stewart Hotel? Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. At this time, I would like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. We are at this time going to ask if there is any other business that the members would like to discuss. You know, in that case, I will just say I want to thank everyone for thoughtful questions, good discussion, and we've said it a couple of times, but as a reminder, the people on this board and the people who are working at these agencies are obviously clear. We're focused on protecting tenants and ensuring that they have their rights and housing protected. So thank you for all of that. If there's no other business, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So
second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.